Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and it is time for another Lunch and Learn. I really enjoy meeting martial artists from all over the country, all over the world, and sharing their thoughts, their opinions. We create great communication. Now, I'm with the American Martial Arts Alliance and the Who's Who in the Martial Arts publications. And I've had the great pleasure of really meeting some fantastic martial artists. I mean, fantastic is not even a word. I mean, these people are, if everyone could, and this is what the book is about sharing the story and connecting with these amazing people and what they actually have. I have Kiyoshi Rodden Smith, and I have Hanchi Montez Dennis on the call with me for our Lunch and Learn today. And, you know, they contacted me a few weeks ago and says, hey, you know, let's talk about some things, you know, in the martial arts that they feel is very, you know, important. You know, we have the tradition of the martial arts, and, you know, then we have what we call modern martial arts, or even referred to American karate, American stylist. So we're going to get into talking about that a little bit today. And remember, you know, our program, anyone that would love to be on our program to share your opinions, I'd love to have you. So as we're talking today, and if you're listening to our call, remember, always hold open an open mind to what you hear, process it, shoot me some information back on it. Hey, guys, welcome to the call.
Hey.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you know, thank you, guys. You guys, I really do appreciate all the support. You know, when I talk about those fantastic martial artists, you know, I want you guys to know that, you know, you are definitely in that group. You know, you guys have been supporters of our Who's Who. You're both alumnus in our Who's Who. And, you know, I want to say thank you for that. And, you know, we try to be picky and choosy about who's actually in the book. It's not a book about champions. It's really a book about martial artists that have something of value to be able to share. And, you know, you guys definitely fit the mold for that. So in our conversation tonight, we were talking about earlier about the martial arts, you know, return of the American karate to the old way of modern American styles, and how that today it seems as if the martial arts systems are corrupt, you know, from the old way of teaching. So I think
Correct.
This is a really good point here. So let's talk about it. And like I said, I'm an American stylist, and we'll talk about what is American stylist, what does it mean? And we'll talk about, you know, the tradition of martial arts and how we can still create that win-win with the true understanding of what the purpose of martial arts is all about. So I'm going to let you guys, you know, start off. So, you know, tell me your thoughts and your feelings, guys.
Well, if I could jump in, and I can tell you conversations and observations that Hanchi Dennis and I have had. Originally, this thing we do taught people how to defend themselves, and they taught specific defensive movements that were effective, that a person could learn by practicing, develop muscle memory. As you and I have talked, Hanchi Bowen, about quieting your mind, reaching a point of embedding the technique in your mind. And as I was taught through many, many styles and even training in Okinawa, these old Chinese guys would teach techniques and then have the student go away and practice a technique, even to the point of stringing them together, which was the original development of kata, the form. Somehow, over time, that's gotten corrupted into that the form became the thing, and many of the teachers forgot what the movements meant. I've been fortunate to I've seen your classes. I've seen your students, Hachi Bowen. I've trained next to Montez, and I've seen his students, and even have been in situations where I was assured that in practical application, he knew what he could do to defend himself and to defend others. My concern is that many schools, many teachers, even some who walk around and call themselves super-duper great grandmaster, can't do defense, practical defense. They can spar in tournaments. They can turn out tournament fighters. But in the real world, the concepts of practical self-defense are lost. So that's what I wanted to put on the table to discuss and maybe draw from practical wisdom. What can we do to influence even what they call American style is really just guys practicing techniques that they think works for them. Would you agree?
Yes.
Well, you know, really, you know, that's sort of what American karate was sort of founded on. And there's difference in made up stuff. And this is where that line sort of draws, you know, for me. And because, and again, we're in a country that you can do whatever you want to do. It's not governed. It's you know, there's no one going to take your belt away from you. You know, none of those different things. So I think that what's happened is that, but this is the key point that I sort of look at. And guys, you know, we've been around. You know, to become a martial artist, a black belt, under the times that we became black belts, when, you know, martial arts is still new in the country, you know, when I started, safety gear was just coming out, thank you, Lord, you know, and I mean, but, you know, it was still these martial artists that had been to the military, and they brought back that mentality of the tradition of what they learn, and through movies and everything else, we saw the practice over and over. We saw in Kung Fu Masters the work that the grasshopper had to do, and we expected to be able to do that. And the repetition, you know, of that. Now, the longevity of the martial artist during that period of time was shorter because, you know, it was sort of, you know, who's the toughest man on the block? You know, only the strong shall survive. We were using words like coward and challenges, and you know, we were at a different time too. But I do agree that, you know, because the problem that hurts the martial arts is when you have people that don't want to work, that don't want to learn, that it's easier for them to create something by going online and watching a video, come back and create it, then step out and begin to teach it. Now, you know, this is where it begins to really, you know, hurt, you know, the martial arts. But, you know, as we look at it now, you know, I don't really see a solution to be able to stop that. And then we have the other thing from my perspective is that the learning curve of the students that we have now, because the way that we train and the way that we learn, you know, we didn't have the conflict of comprehension skills, visualization skills, the things that, you know, my dad would call common sense things that today we are techno. And, you know, from cell phones to texting, and those things are altering our mind. And so, you know, so we got a lot of things that really go in into it. But if we go back and we say, well, hey, you know, those were the days, my friend, I thought they would never end. You know, we need to wake up. That's a new day. So, yeah, so, you know, you guys, you know, give me what you got. Give me some, this is good. Give me some more.
Well, what I found in my experience now, you got a lot of instructors out here now, all they're thinking about is the money aspect. You know, they find out, oh, okay, it's a gimmick now. I can just teach anything and get money. And so they open up studios, and you can see the students. You know they're not qualified, but the parents are happy because the kids are hopping around, jumping around, playing around in classes, most of the ones I've seen. And the parents will say, oh, my kid's a brown belt. My kid's a black belt. My kid's a black belt. He's only 8 years old. Okay, I understand. You think he's a black belt, but he's not. I talked to a student one day before, like last week. He was doing a form. I said, okay, why are you learning kata? He said, I do kata just for my belt. That's why I got to learn them. He has no concept of kata at all. First thing he said, I'm learning it because I need them for my belt. So his instructor never told him the aspects of learning a kata. So the kids think, that, oh, I have to know this in order to get my next belt. So they don't care about the effecto of the kata. All they want to do is to move and get their belt and go to the next one.
Right. And originally, as I understand it, the forms were designed to be advancement in fighting techniques. And buried in those techniques, you use less and less movement and express greater and greater power. So minimum motion, maximum effect. Eventually, through quieting your mind and reaching a point of what in Japanese is called mushin, a one single point in meditation, these techniques flowed to the surface because they were buried in your subconscious mind. You recognized the threat. The whole idea of kata then in America became, oh, let me do this form. And that shows how good I am. And my concern is that most of those people couldn't fight their way out of wet toilet paper. So they pursued the belt. They had advancement, but they had no sense of what the techniques were all about. I can't imagine, Hanchi Bowen, you reaching a point of saying, oh, I have a black belt now, so I'm going to quit. I've reached my goal. To me, that's insane.
Well, that's what most kids and some adults are doing. They think that's the black belt at the end of the road. Once you get that, that's it. And they think kata or forms are not part of the fighting technique. They say, I don't want to learn no kata. I just want to learn how to fight. And I say, every move in the kata is a fighting technique. If you learn it and master that move, you can learn how to fight. So when I show the students the techniques, says, oh, I didn't know that was that. I just thought it was a hand movement. No, it's for this purpose. So I show the Bunkai explanation of the moves when I teach my students. When I go to other people's schools, I don't feel it's my job to do that because they're not under me, for one, and I don't never want to make another instructor feel like, oh, I didn't know what the move was, I didn't explain it to my student. But if I'm with that particular instructor, I would get with him and say, oh, we can try it this way, and if you do it this way, it may help you out better. And he's very appreciated, or they very appreciate it when I do that. But never, never, never in the front of a student would I correct anybody when I'm teaching like that.
Right.
But the
exactly
old school,
right.
The old school, like we are seeing, like I said, our Master Bourne saying, it's almost a lost dinosaur. Students don't want to learn it no more because it's harder, it's more disciplined, it's a harder way for instructors to make money. They just don't want to teach it. They just want to teach any little thing, the same punch and kick forever, one collar maybe forever, and get the money from the students.
So how do we encourage American students to learn self-defense through these movements?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here and sort of making some notes, and the key element, the ball is too big. The key element is knowledge. You see, because, you know, you guys and my, you know, self, I trained under, you know, Grandmaster Yoda. You know, I've,
right.
I've trained with some dynamic, you know, in, you know, of understanding the concepts of Kapha, what we used to think was, you know, the shield of sun. You know, I remember he saying, you know, it's a cloudy day. What sun you shielding? You know, you know. And then he comes back and slams you to the floor and with this Tweete stuff that they call Tweete. But
right.
until that time, you know, this is what we did. You know, I know, you know, Osensei Wellendorf, they started the Ohio Judo and Karate. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got together and started learning judo out of a book. That's how they started way back in, what, 1957. And then
right.
they finally got somebody to come in and teach them judo. And then they brought a karate person in. And, you know, one of the people was Grandmaster Victor Moore. And that's who my teacher, Osensei, made second-degree black belt under was Grandmaster Victor Moore. Was that Shirinru Karate, I think? You know,
right.
then, you know, studied, went on to study Ishinru Karate because at their school, that's what they were doing was bringing people in to begin to teach karate because it was so new.
Right.
And in that process, but, you know, a lot of martial artists have never been exposed to it because now, like I said, it becomes, the ball is so big. Unless that person has that will or desire to go to that extra mile to do, and because
mm-hmm.
there's so many, it's easier they're set in their ways, you know. And again, you know, I'm not a person to call somebody right or somebody wrong, you know. I mean, I look at the martial arts, you know, as a professional school. As a professional, you know, I sold my school back here, you know, almost a year ago, and it doesn't
right.
look like the same school that I actually sold. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because I'm no longer stepped down as the grand master of the school because there was a change that said, this is too hard. And I don't want to learn it. And that's what it
uh-huh.
really came down to, is that this is too hard. It's easier for me to make up stuff, create stuff, than for me to actually train under you to learn that. So that's what we're, so that's, so guys, so put it in a nutshell, there it is. And since
so,
we're.
With that in mind, and knowing where we've come from, is there a place, you know, what I call martial sport or sport karate? Those guys concentrate on the gymnastic side of things. I grew up in the hood in L.A. I have never, ever seen or done a board break defending myself or a flying any kind of kick or any kind of gymnastic move to keep me from getting my brains knocked out in a conflict. That in reality, most fights last 30 seconds or less, and you either defend yourself or you don't. I like to be on the side of defending myself. So getting to an age where I can recognize the value of practical techniques in anybody's style. But let me tell you a story about somebody you know. Well, two people you know. Haunchy Larry Isaacs. You know him very well, correct?
Right.
I was at a Hall of Fame with him and Fusei Kisei, who was a 10th Dan in Okinawan Kenpo. And he later took over Matsumura Saito Shorinru. At the event, and Haunchy Isaacs is a 10th Dan in his own right, Sensei Kisei asked Larry Isaacs to attack him.
He wanted to demonstrate the beauty and fluidity of this thing we do. Larry Isaac said, "Sensei, what do you want me to? What technique do you want me to do?" Kisei Sensei said, "I don't care." Larry Isaacs went in with a fast technique, and Kisei Sensei threw him to the ground in probably the smoothest set of moves I've seen on anyone. After he threw him, he still had his wrist locked up. He turned to everybody there and said, "This is a great martial artist," complimenting Larry Isaacs. It impressed me, the humility on the part of Hanshi Isaacs and the humility on the part of Husei Kisei and the practicality of the technique that he executed with no advance notice. How do we get American martial artists to have that state of mind? That's really knowledge. The core of the problem.
Knowledge. You see,
so,
knowledge, you know, I mean, if this everything that we're talking, you guys are really knowledgeable, but there are so many other martial artists that are not knowledgeable. And that's why I said, and you know, martial arts is sort of like an opinion art. You know, who, you know, we don't have the days of, you know, I challenge you, you challenge me, in doing that. You know, but you know, but this is what's happening in the martial arts, okay? Number one, the martial arts has many benefits. And one of the benefits, because other than my daughter, out of thousands of students I've had, I probably had maybe one to be in a physical fight. So the physical fight of the training is important, because we discipline our mind, and this is the reason I say that I only have one, because I truly believe if I have to demonstrate my art, I have already broken some basic rules. So you got rules, but if I'm in there, then because I still train the old way, we still have society classes, we still do makiwari training, you know, so we still do a lot of the old things. You know, but the thing with it is that you're, you know, for the kids and the adults that we're teaching today, many of them, you know, back when we had the tougher systems, you know, you graduated, you know, it was less than 1 in 100 that actually even stayed and became black belts. So in
right.
the personal development side of developing the confidence, the focus, the attitude, and all of those things, you know, that's when parents come in. I, you know, when I have them fill out a questionnaire, in many cases, self-defense is not the thing that they say. What
right.
they're looking for is self-discipline. And what we teach through the martial arts principles in the is about that discipline that we hold. Now, if you have classes and that are not disciplined, because discipline starts at the door. If you walk in and everybody's climbing a wall and running all over the floor, then that is the defeat of the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But when a program sets a good structure, but you see, I had a great teacher. So we have to not look at the martial arts. What we have to look at is the martial artists. Because
That's
just
true.
Because I put on a belt and I train under someone and he teaches me, and I've never seen anything different, then I must accept this is it. You know, but that's why
uh-huh.
I said having a great teacher who will expose you to many different things, but the principles are, you know, they're the same. Now, I there's a video up online of Sensei Wellendorf back in, I guess, 1979. What's that, 40 years ago?
Right.
And, you know, he's teaching a class, right? And, you know, it was creating the first video of our kata system. And he's talking about kata. And he says something there, "I just get it," 40 years later. Okay. You know, that makes me slow, right? No. That, what it does, I get it, what he was saying from his perspective, because that's what he taught. He taught kapha. He taught the meditation. He taught visualization. He taught all of these things into the training program. He taught the traditional. He taught the non-traditional. He taught the structure of aggression and non-aggression. You see, and that's the reason why, you know, for myself, you know, I have gone on to study, you know, Aikido, because for me as that person, I don't want to have to take you out all the time. I may want to control a situation. And then I integrated this into football programs that I taught for. I introduced this into the different aspects of bowling. You see, so the martial arts is not just a one size fits all. The martial arts, if it's taught correctly, is a useful tool to enhance all life. And you're correct. I mean, if someone has to defend themselves, you know, we used to have an oath that as instructors, we had to say every time a sensei came in and was a part of our class was, you know, let's make darn sure that no ghost comes back to haunt us and say, teacher, why didn't you teach me when you could? Yeah. You know, that sort of, but you see, we have a foundation. I've only had one of my students to lose their life. You know, only one of my students to lose their life. And that's a hard thing when you taught someone yesterday and you go back on today and you look and they're in a casket. That's a very tough thing. And a martial artist either will get better at their teaching and understand the value that they have to bring to their student, or they will fold their tent up and go home. Now, my choice was to make sure I never have to experience that again.
Right. I would love to create a way of conversations that, well, a repeated conversation between Hachi Dennis and myself. There are so few of us who learn the old ways that are still around. And this thing we do can either move to a higher level of expression or disappear into sport. I would rather it have the higher level of expression without losing anything. The guys that, like, what's his name? Joe Lewis. Montez have had training with him, seminars with him, and he was fast as lightning. But in reality, what he did was he developed his own sense of associated techniques and then drilled people on those. Well, that's the history of this 2,500 thing that we do. Is some guy learned techniques to defend himself and then passed that on to someone else who developed techniques that in his experience worked, and they kept passing it on. The form, the kata part, was just a memorization tool. We've kind of lost that perspective, and I think as the Hanchis, that can be passed on. What you do is supposed to teach you how to defend yourself. And if it doesn't work, don't do it.
True. To
defend the sport karate side is, you know, because I'm been a competitor. Now, honestly, if I had to tell you, I would not. I don't know if I would have ever stayed in the martial arts if it had not been for sport karate. I don't know if I would have stayed in the martial arts because I don't think I would have done that. Now, I was the only person in the Karate International organization that actually did sport karate.
Right.
And there is a place for it. Well, you know, and in that group of people that did that, you know, is there only two instructors or two master instructors, you know, if there was a place for it. But you have to understand that in life, because we did that, we altered and changed and we made ways and we made things different. You know, we came out of the light. Look at the, you know, the Taekwondo for the Olympics. You know, look at now karate coming up. I mean, so, look at how many thousands of people went to the Battle of Atlanta, Master Brown's event up in D.C. You know, again, we know, now I guess that's why the Okinawans had those two classes. They had the classes for the people that were willing to work, and they understood that American GI would only be there for a certain period of time, and very few of them would work hard enough to do what it really was taken in that. And that's the reason why the import of bringing people over to continue that, you know, that teaching. So I think that our traditional world, but you see the thing with this, you have to look at this too.
Right.
To try to teach values at this point in time is a very difficult job because of the surroundings of everything that's going on in the world. So when you're trying to teach values, because everything is technology. Now, you may not know how to operate your cell phone, but you can give it to your grandkid. He's 3 years old. He can show you some things you can do, you know. So we have an evolution. There's an evolution. So there has to be, for those martial artists, and I say for the, you know, I mean, as we're writing the book, and again, as I say for those martial artists that want to learn more of the tradition and what does it mean, then they're going to have to seek out those people and those people. And some of the things that, you know, a lot of my super traditional friends, you know, they don't want to be seen and they don't want to be known. So that prohibits that student from finding those people that want to really share these things that you're talking about. You know, I talk to martial artists all the time. I don't be a part of none of that stuff. I'm sitting back here. I don't want nobody to see me. I don't want to be heard about, you know. And sure, you know, they've got, and I jokingly say that, you know, the guy that has all the skill and art, you know, that has 8 students, and the guy that has no skill, but he now has 400 students, they need to get together. And the guy that has no skill should now tell the guy that has all the skill and those students that, hey, let me teach you about the art and you teach me about marketing.
That's perfect. That is perfect. Yeah. So you have our hope for the future. You know, Olympics, karate's going to be in the Olympics in 2020. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed to have a spot. And it'll be seen on TV. And we all know that it's an exciting thing to see and participate in if it's done correctly. On the other hand, sport karate is not the traditional stuff, and there's a place for both. We've judged both in our careers, and Montez and I know we've been fortunate enough to compete at it. There is a place for both. I just want to make sure we leave a legacy that says you already have the movements in whatever style you're doing. Learn why the movements can be effective and don't do the stuff that doesn't work. That simple.
Well, you know, guys, this is one of those conversations that we've been having since, I guess, the beginning of time and the dojo wars of yesterday of who's the better man at this and who's the better man at that. You know, as an American stylist, and I don't even think we were just karate folks, and then we took on the title of American karate. And, right. you know, and I remember that, you know, I was a green belt, and people says, well, man, your teacher's no good. Your style is no good, you know. And, you know, that really bothered me. You know what I did? I went back. We're talking about from the sport karate, but it also, it went to any aspect that anyone wanted to play it on. Was I trained night and I trained day. And because back in that time, brown belts were doing, had to do weapons and everything with the black belts because there weren't those divisions, you know. And I was beating, defeating in competition with technique and form, because the key element about doing kata is the, that you must, in order to do great kata, you must become a part of what you're doing. The vision has to be so strong, and the that whomever on looks can see it, and therefore that power, because we don't even talk about ki anymore. You know, that thing that you have that becomes so powerful. And yes, some of these things are not taught, and that's the reason why in the American Martial Arts Alliance, you know, I want to unify people like you guys. You know, I'd like for you guys to be a part of those traditional guys that to be a part of our panel, that we have those folks out there that they want to know and understand the history and tradition of the martial arts, that they have someone to go to. I mean, from the, doesn't matter to, you know, right now we are started that we have you know, Grandmaster Dunn, Jerry Otto, and quite a few martial artists that we are saying to people that we are coming across that are lost, and because the teacher and the student have split up, they've gone their separate way, Grasshopper continues to train, and therefore that's what you get. You know, you actually get, you have what you have is because someone left, someone else went on their own. Remember this, what the Okinawan karate, right? You know, what they went to all these Ru islands, and everybody started doing their, see, there is no difference. The thing that we have to do, we have to, you know, make available. That's what we're named. Remember I said knowledge. We have to make available the opportunity for people that are looking for those things. Where do I find it? The Who's Who book, because everybody's got their bio in there. And if someone wants to take and learn, you know, Shotokan karate, who do I go to? Where do I find it? You know, sensei, I want to learn. Will you teach? Will you take me on as a teacher and teach me? Okay. Right. Will you take me on as a teacher? See, that's my word for our program today is knowledge. You know, we have what we have based upon the knowledge. Ignorance is bliss. You know, if you don't know any better, then, you know, you're sort of okay. Now, once you know better, now that's something else.
Yeah. I would say ignorance is death. Because you're training to lose, to give up by not allowing yourself to be aware. You know, what's the biblical promise? Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
And so, I would say to the person, you know, like I said, and I don't even want to go this direction. We just opened up a church, so I don't even want to go this direction. You know, but I will say this. It's about the spiritual leader also. Your martial arts instructor should be a spiritual leader. That person should have something of character, because if you don't have character, you cannot develop character.
True.
Amen. And I do agree with you guys on the self-defense part. But I also do agree, too, if I train you, and I may not be the greatest fighter in the world, the greatest form person in the world, or any of those things, but if I can, we need role models. We need someone to help our kids not be involved in gangs. I'm going to start in the next year. I've committed myself to start a Martial Arts for Christ program. something that I can get someone to stop thinking about the violence, some way to stop thinking about the killing, and a way to be able to find themselves through the principles that we know that work in the martial arts. And yes, we use the physical part of fighting to now develop the discipline. But that's what our military was built on, is built around, you know, that ability to defend yourself. And you see, that's what we do. We teach that ability, but it's one of, then we have all these byproducts, okay, because you have those byproducts because of the success of your understanding of the art and how not to use it.
That's true. That's exactly right. I wanna thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. This has been enlightening. You need us to serve on anything, let us know.
Well, you know, that would be great, guys. And what I say to everybody that's listening, we had a pretty deep call tonight, and we're both right. The three of us in this conference, because we have, and that's what the martial arts community has to do. We have to come together, not a blame, but to sort of find a way for those people that want to know, the people that want to know more how to increase their student enrollment, how to be able to increase their knowledge. See, the teacher should never stop learning.
Exactly.
And I'll share this, and then we go. And then someone says, well, you know, what happens at 10th degree black belt? Well, I'm going to tell you what happens. I was advanced to 10th degree black belt. You know, I have this red belt. I go to sleep that night that I received it. I wake up the next day, and nothing really changed. And what I mean by that was that it did change. I was looking for some fireworks, but the room was empty. And that's what you have to have when you grow.
Right.
The room has to be empty so you can begin to bring your knowledge and for you to be able to grow into a higher expectation of the art. And, you know, because if that growth didn't happen, we would still be pushing a stone and trying to call it a wheel. You know, so we all have to go through that evolution. And I'm hoping that in our martial arts communities that we come together and we become that positive wheel to move the martial arts, and not just the martial arts in any style, but I'm talking about the martial arts as a whole, to move it forward, that we can do good in humanity. Stop the hatred, stop the killing, you know, teaching sense of human value, you know, that these are the things that we can do. And in many cases, you don't see this done by martial artists.
Correct.
You know, no matter what their sport, it doesn't matter what they do, and you don't see, when you see thugs and all this here, generally they're not in the martial arts classroom.
Sure.
Now, they could have been and dropped out, but they're not martial artists. So I think to applaud ourselves that for 90% of what I believe is that people that are studying the martial arts, they're not a part of the problem. What we have to do is get the martial arts out there, traditional, non-traditional, doesn't matter, so we can be a part of the solution. Hey, everyone, this is Jesse Bowen. I've had these wonderful martial artists on our Lunch and Learn, and you can see that this is sort of always one of these subjects because we want to see positive change in people. We want to become leaders. We want to become models. If you have any comments about our program today, shoot me an email. If you want to be on the show and you want to be able to, you know, voice your opinion, this program is open to anyone that wants to have a positive solution towards anything in life. Hey, this is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen. Hey, everyone, be blessed, and we'll see you later.